Galatians chapter 3, verses 10 through 11. For all who rely on works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them. Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous shall live by faith. Father, we thank You for this word, and we ask, Lord, that You would direct our hearts toward You and toward Your truth, that You would open our eyes to see wonderful things in Your law. God, that You would satisfy us with Jesus today, that we would better understand what it means to trust in Him by faith alone, to be justified by faith alone. God, we ask that You would reveal to us ways in which we're trusting in other Saviors and adding to the finished work of Jesus. And we pray that You would grant us to repent and look to Christ and hope in Christ and delight in Christ above all other delights. And so be with us and help us, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Last week I began by asking the question, what is the Protestant Reformation? And you can hear what it is in that word, Protestant. It's a protest. It was a protest by faithful men and women of God against the errors of the Roman Catholic Church. It was led by Martin Luther. Martin Luther was a German monk who lived from 1483 to 1546. And we spoke last week about how Martin Luther King Jr. was named after this Martin Luther. And so Martin Luther King Jr. was born Michael King, and his dad was born Michael King, and Michael King was a Baptist pastor in Atlanta, and in 1934 he visited Germany, and Michael King learned about Martin Luther, this German monk, and all that he did to free God's people from the oppression of the Roman Catholic Church. And he came back and said, I'm going to change my name and I'm going to change my son's name. We are now Martin Luther King and Martin Luther King Jr. This Martin Luther, this German monk, saw errors in the teaching and practice of the Roman Catholic Church, and he wrote 95 debating points or theses and nailed them on the church door in Wittenberg, Germany on October 31st, 1517. 500 years ago. And so this month is the 500th year anniversary of his protest. And we are studying this month these five major truths that flow out from the Reformation, the five solas of the Reformation. Sola, the Latin word for alone or only. And last week we looked at solus Christus, Christ alone. We are justified by Jesus Christ alone. He alone is our Savior, our Prophet, our Priest, our King, our all in all. And this week, we look at sola fide, faith alone. We are justified through faith alone in Jesus Christ alone. There are a couple movies about Martin Luther's life. One is an older 1950s movie and a newer early 2000s movie. But in the old 1950s movie, the black and white version, there's a scene where Martin Luther is speaking with one of these Roman Catholic leaders. And the Roman Catholic leader says, Brother Martin, if you take away the good works and the things that all the people hope in and they're working, what will you put in their place? If you take away all their crutches that they lean on, what will you put in their place? And Brother Martin Luther says, Christ. Man only needs Jesus Christ. And friend, that's the point of faith alone. If you're going to have Christ alone, then justification must be by faith alone. Because only faith alone points to Christ alone. If you add anything else to your justification, then you are denying Christ alone. You're saying, well, I need works. Of course I need faith, but I also need works in order to be justified. I need to do good deeds in order to be justified. No, you don't. If you add your good deeds to your justification, you will die and go to hell because your deeds don't cut it. It doesn't matter how good the best deed you've ever done, how wonderfully selfless and giving and kind you've ever been. It's not good enough for Jesus. It does not equal what Jesus did. That's what you're saying in effect. If you believe you can be justified by faith and works, you are saying that your works are as good as Jesus' work. May it never be. Friends, if it is Christ alone who justifies us, it must be by faith alone, because only faith alone puts the spotlight on Jesus alone. Only by faith alone can we be connected to Christ alone and be justified by faith. Now, what is justification? The Bible uses that word, justification, maybe a big word for some of you, maybe a new word. What is justification? Because we're talking about the fact that we are justified by faith alone. No works, no good deeds, just faith. Faith alone. You can't clean yourself up enough to make God love you. You can't do enough good deeds to make God love you. No, you're justified by faith alone. What is justification? The shorter catechism of the Westminster Catechism says this. What is justification? Justification is an act of God's free grace. So it is an act of God. It is a gift of God, grace. It's an act of God's free grace in which He forgives all of our sins. All of our sins forgiven, wiped away into the sea of forgetfulness, and accepts us as righteous in His sight only for the righteousness of Christ imputed to us. When we trust in Christ alone, by faith alone, we have the very righteousness of Jesus Christ counted or imputed to us, so that when He looks at you, He sees Christ. The very righteousness of Jesus is yours. That's amazing. That's amazing. We are justified by faith alone. He accepts us as righteous in His sight only for the righteousness of Christ imputed or counted to us and received by faith alone. Justification is being declared right with God. That's what it is. It's a declaration. It is not God making you more righteous. It is you, a guilty, wicked, ungodly sinner, standing before the court of heaven with nothing in your hands you bring, only your sin. And the God of the universe says, not guilty forever. That's justification. It is a legal act. The judge of all the earth, who knows everything you've ever done, said, thought, felt, He says, I declare you not guilty, even though you're guilty as sin and you deserve hell. I say you're not guilty. Now, why can God do that and be just? Because He heaped all your sins on His Son and said, guilty. Jesus, the perfect one, the beautiful one, the sinless one, the holy, holy, holy one who never sinned in thought, word, or deed. God looks on His Son, His only Son whom He loves, and He takes all your sin, all your wickedness, all your evil, and He places it on His Son, and He says, guilty, condemned, crushed, you will die and face My wrath. And that's what Jesus did. On the cross, Jesus took the wrath that you and I deserve on Himself. And so God can tell you not guilty, but the sin has to be punished. And so He punishes His Son in your place. That is the good news of justification. And we can only receive that by faith alone. And when you're justified, you're brought into a right relationship with God. You're forgiven of all your sins. You're counted righteous. God adopts you as His sons and daughters. You're saved. You're saved. That's justification. Now, still today, the Roman Catholic Church denies this. The Roman Catholic Church still today denies that we are justified by faith alone. The Roman Catholic Catechism says this: justification is conferred in baptism. So they view that when the little baby is baptized, they are justified. And it conforms us to the righteousness of God, who makes us inwardly just by the power of His mercy. And so they see justification starting with an act, a ritual, being baptized, a ritual of man, and then it's a process. They view it as a process where you grow in righteousness. Friends, that's not what the Bible teaches. And even worse, the Council of Trent, which was a council convened where Roman Catholic theologians came together in 1545 to 1563 in a response to the teaching of Luther and the other reformers to say, well, what do we believe about justification and other doctrines now that this whole Reformation is blown up? And they wrote this about justification. If one saith that by faith alone the impious is justified, let him be anathema. So Rome teaches that the only way the Bible teaches that you can be justified, that if you teach that only way to be justified, then you should be damned to hell. That's what Trent teaches. And that's still what the Roman Catholic Church uses as one of their foundational documents. But friend, we know differently. We know that the only way we cannot be damned is by trusting in Jesus Christ by faith alone. Alistair McGrath writes of three features of the Lutheran and Protestant doctrine of justification. Number one, justification is a legal declaration that changes your status before God, not a transformation or a change of your nature. Again, it is a declaration. God saying to the ungodly, not guilty. God declaring you righteous. Two, justification is clearly distinguished from sanctification. So, we do believe God changes us and makes us more holy and righteous. We call that sanctification. But that's not justification. Justification is a declaration. Sanctification is a change of heart and a change in behavior. Justification is a final, once for all declaration. God says, not guilty, righteous, and you have the righteousness of Jesus counts for you, and for all eternity that righteousness will not increase or decrease because it's Jesus' righteousness. And it's a one-time act, not guilty. Never to be repeated again, because it doesn't need to be repeated, because Jesus Christ alone is sufficient. Whereas sanctification is a lifelong process where God the Spirit is working in us to move us to die more and more to sin and to live more and more into righteousness, to be made more like Jesus. And all those who are justified will be sanctified. If you look at your life and you're not being changed, you're not being made more like Jesus, you're not hating sin more and longing to be holy more, well, friend, that probably means you were never justified. You never trusted in Christ alone. By faith alone. Justification is by faith alone, whereas sanctification is by faith and our own grace-filled, Holy Spirit-empowered effort. If anybody has ever told you, Christians who have been justified by faith alone, that to be more like Jesus, you just need to let go and let God and just watch the Holy Spirit do His work, that is false teaching. You're to work. You're to labor with all of God's might in you. You're to say no to sin. You're to turn from sin. You're to fight. You're to put to death the deeds of the body by the power of the Spirit. We're to work to be made more holy. And it's God's grace working in us. But not in justification. There is no work we do for justification. It is all of God, all of Christ, and we can receive it only by faith alone. We're justified because of Christ's righteousness imputed or counted to us and the forgiveness of our sins. Timothy George writes of three elements in Martin Luther's theology of justification. Number one, imputation. I want you to know that word, imputation. It means to have something that's not yours, that you didn't earn, counted as if it were yours. Sort of like Brother Howard here works all week for money and gets all this money in his savings account, and I didn't do anything all week but sit on my posterior and be lazy, but at the end of the week, that money is transferred to my account. So I didn't earn it, I don't deserve it, I didn't work for it, but I get what he earned. It was imputed to me, though I didn't earn it, I didn't deserve it, it was counted as mine. Friend, that's what we get in Christ. Christ earned it. Christ worked for it. Christ merited heaven. And God counts that as ours, even though we did everything not to go to heaven. In our sin and our rebellion, that is imputation. It's an alien righteousness. It's not our own. Counted as ours. Paul speaks of this in Philippians 3, 8 and 9. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For His sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law. Not having a righteousness that comes from me of doing good deeds, do this, do that, so that I can earn heaven. No. It does not come from my own, which comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ. The righteousness from God that depends on faith. That's the righteousness we need. The perfect righteousness of Jesus, not tainted in any way by our good works. Our good works would only taint God's righteousness because our good works are tainted with sin. Did you know that? The best work you've ever done is tainted with sin. We do no perfect works. Even our works have to be covered by the blood of Jesus. Luther said this, through faith in Christ, therefore, Christ's righteousness becomes our righteousness, and all that He has becomes ours. Believers are justified, and at the same time, sinners. I got to speak at Philmont Christian Academy to these young children this week. Gabby was there. And I'm thinking about how do you get across to these children that they cannot be justified by being good little children? We don't want to raise good little Pharisees. It's so tempting to teach children to be good little Pharisees. Obey. You better obey mommy and daddy. You better do what's right. You better sit down and listen while the preacher's talking. You better obey. You better do good in school. Make good grades. You know, we inundate them, right, with moralism. Sometimes. And they, how do I convey to them that God justifies the ungodly? So children, God doesn't justify the people who always do all their homework. He doesn't justify the people who always obey their parents. He doesn't justify the people who always listen and sit still and are quiet during the sermon. He doesn't justify the people who are good little boys and girls who always obey and do the right thing. He doesn't justify you. He justifies the ungodly. He justifies the children who don't listen, who don't pay attention, who don't do their homework, who don't obey their parents, who talk back. That's who God justifies. The ungodly. The ungodly. By faith alone. Not by cleaning up your act. Not by saying, well, I better be a good little boy now. I better be a good obey my mommy and daddy now. I better clean things up so that I'll be right before God. No, that will not justify you. He justifies you by simply trusting in the finished work of Jesus. Not cleaning up your act. Not doing the right thing. By faith alone. By trusting in Christ alone. That's who He justifies, the ungodly. Now, are those things good and should you do them? Children, yes, you should. You should obey mommy and daddy. You should listen to the sermon. You should come to church. You should do your homework. You should work hard in school. You should do all those things. But not in order to be right with God. Children, if you think that by your good behavior, by your obedience to mommy and daddy, by doing good things, that you will make yourself right with God. You will not. You've believed a lie. You cannot get right with God by doing good things. You can only be made right with God by faith, by trust in Him, by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so children, if you find in your life that you are acting out like these ungodly children who don't obey, don't listen to mom and dad, are disobedient, not doing homework, not listening, getting in trouble in school, you're ungodly. You're ungodly and you deserve God's wrath and judgment for your disobedience. And what you need to do is turn from your sin and believe in Christ. You need to trust in Jesus by faith alone. God only justifies the ungodly. He only justifies the ungodly. He only justifies the wicked, the sinners, the unthankful, the God-haters. God justifies the ungodly. Romans 4:5. Now I love this verse. This is good news for sinners. You come here today and you know your record won't get you into heaven. You know that you've not done right. You've been the ungodly one. You've been the one who spit in God's face. You've been the one who don't give God the time of day. You worship video games and money and sex and drugs and alcohol and all these other wicked, godless activities. Friend, there's hope for you. There's hope for you because it's not based on your works that you can be justified. It's based on faith alone. Romans 4:5, and to the one who does not work. That's where I get telling children to stop working. If you want to know biblically where I get off, how's the pastor, why is he saying all that telling children not to obey their parents? Where does he get off doing that? It's going to cause a rebellion. Well, don't let Satan misinterpret what I'm saying. Because I'm not telling children not to obey your parents. I'm telling children not to obey their parents in order to be made right with God. You hear that? Get behind me, Satan. All the people that Satan's working in now to make people walk out the door and say, "Pastor told children not to obey their parents." Get behind me, Satan. That's not what I said. I said children don't obey your parents in order to be justified before God. Is that clear? Somebody's going to go out saying something different, but preachers try. Children, you cannot be justified before God by being obedient to your parents. To him who does not work, to him who does not work for this. There are people who look really Christian who are doing these things. There are pastors who do this. I got to preach and be a good pastor so I can go to heaven. No. I got to be a good parent so that I can be justified before God. No, I've got to do this and do that so that I'll be good enough to go to heaven. I got to come to church so that I'll be good enough to go to heaven. No, to him who does not work, stop working. Lay your deadly doing down at Jesus' feet. To him who does not work, but believes, but trusts in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. Did you see that? It's biblical. It's biblical. It's Pauline. Holy Spirit inspired. To him who does not work, but trusts him who justifies the ungodly. The ungodly. Friend, if you're here this morning and you're ungodly, there's hope for you. There's hope for you to be justified, to be forgiven, to be declared right with God. By faith alone. Trust him. Believe in him. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. That's the gospel. He only justifies the ungodly. And faith alone justifies. And that brings us to our text today. That brings us to our text today. Galatians 3:10-11. Faith alone justifies. For all who rely on works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them. Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous shall live by faith. All who rely on works of the law are under a curse. All who rely on works of the law are under a curse. Children, that's why I'm telling you, don't rely on your works, your good behavior. Your obedience to your parents, to your teachers. If you are relying on works of the law, and I would include obedience,
Children's obedience to authorities in that. Honor your father and mother. If you are relying on works of the law to be justified, you are under a curse. Do not rely on your good behavior to be made right with God, to be counted right with God. If you're trusting in your good record of obedience to God as the basis or the reason why you can be declared right with God, you are under a curse. You're under a curse. Friend, I talk to people all the time who are under a curse because I ask them the gospel question that we often begin our services with. If you died tonight, think about how you would answer this question. If you died tonight and you stood before God, who knows everything about you and everything you've ever done, thought, said, felt, and God asked you, why should I let you into heaven? What would you say? I often, almost always, get the answer that's under a curse. Because people tell me things like this. Because I've done good. I'm a good person. I've done what God says. I'm not as bad as that guy. I'm not this guy. I'm pretty good. I know I make mistakes, but I've been pretty good. Friends, they're under a curse. If you answer that way, you're under a curse. You're cursed if you answer that way. Oh, I deserve to go to heaven because I was a good little boy or girl. Always did what mom and daddy said. Grew up. Got into Harvard, full ride. Studied hard, became a lawyer. You know, made lots of money. Gave a lot away. Gave my money away. Helped children all over the world. I deserve heaven. Look how good I am. Under a curse. Curse. Curse, curse, curse. It doesn't matter who you are or what you've done. If you are hoping in your law keeping, your good deeds, what you do before God as the basis on which He should declare you righteous, you are under a curse. Friends, we've not been good enough. You see, God's standard to enter heaven is absolute perfection. His standard to enter heaven is sinlessness. Absolute perfection from the womb to the tomb. Never sinning, never losing your temper, always loving your neighbor as yourself, always loving God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, 24/7. Who's done that? Who has done that? Jesus. Only Jesus. Only Jesus. We've not kept the commandments. We can't rely on works of the law, and we're under a curse, for it is written, and that quotation is from Deuteronomy 27:26, cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them. Friends, the reason everybody is under a curse is because we have not abided by all things written in the book of the law, and we have not done them. And in evangelism, we love to use the Ten Commandments and have no other gods. Friends, we have idols we make. Idols. People will worship in temples all around the country today. Big temples. Temples that are round shaped, and people pay lots of money to go into these temples, and they paint their faces and take their shirts off, and they scream and yell, and it's their life. They worship in these temples called NFL temples. They worship there. They worship. I'm not saying that everybody who likes football is worshiping it, but many people do worship. Many people do worship it as a god. And if you gave them the choice, walk away from watching NFL football or walk away from Jesus, they would walk away from Jesus. Because NFL gives them more joy, more peace, and more happiness than Jesus. Now, friend, if you would not walk away from the NFL for Jesus, then NFL is an idol. And all kinds of other idols we make. We make idols of baby dolls. Idols of video games. Idols of clothes and makeup. Idols of guns. Idols of money, of sex. Idols of good things. Children. husbands, wives, idols of pastors. You can make an idol, these mega pastor people that are on TV. You can make an idol of a man. Jesus is not pleased with that. That's an understatement. Jesus is not pleased when we give other people and things and stuff and sports the place that only He deserves. But we do. We do. We make idols. Make no graven images. Commandment number two. Maybe the best example of that is pornography. Images we lust after for our own selfish pleasure. Not taking God's name in vain. Honoring God on His day. Honoring your parents. Children, honor thy father and thy mother. How well are you doing with that, parents? Children, are you obeying mommy and daddy? Perfectly? Perfect obedience? I know I failed. Don't murder. We're called not to murder one another. You say, oh well, pastor, I've not done that one. But Jesus says, if you're angry, you're a murderer. Lose your temper. You lose your temper, you're a murderer at heart. We murder little babies in the womb. Call it birth control. We murder. Do not commit adultery. Be faithful. One man, one woman in marriage to life. Do you part? No. We divorce for unbiblical reasons and remarry, and Jesus says that's adultery. It's adultery to lust. Lust with the eyes is adultery. Don't steal. Don't lie. Tell the truth. Tell the truth. Tell the truth in everything. Don't covet. Friend, how many of us has obeyed these commandments perfectly, perpetually? No one. We've all failed. And therefore, if we're relying on that law-keeping, we're under a curse. And the text says, now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law. You cannot be justified before God by the law, not by performance. Any kind of performance. This is what so broke Luther's heart as he saw people trying to get justified by baptism, by buying pieces of paper that said you are forgiven, by exchanging money to be forgiven, by prayer formulas. Just go say this many Hail Marys and this many Our Fathers and you will be forgiven. No, you cannot be justified before God by the law. Not by school performance, not by job performance, not by being a good child, not by being a good parent, not by being a good pastor, not by Christian spiritual disciplines. Oh, I'm going to read my Bible every day this year. Friend, if you're doing that in thinking that God will now forgive you because you're giving yourself to Bible reading, you're under a curse. Or prayer. I'm going to pray 3 hours a day. And then maybe God will accept me. Friend, you're under a curse. Prayer is good. Bible reading is good. You should do it, but not to be justified before God. You're under a curse if you're relying upon that to be declared right with God. Evangelism. I'm going to go share the gospel and win 10 people to Jesus every week so I might be made right with God. No. No, you cannot be justified before God by being an evangelist. You cannot be justified before God by discipling or reading books or listening to sermons or serving or mission trips or being a pastor. That will not justify you before God. Only faith. Only faith. Faith alone. Only faith, only believing, only trusting. Galatians 3:11, now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous shall live by faith. By faith. By faith. This faith is the opposite of doing or working or law keeping, and we know that from Galatians 3:12. But the law is not of faith. Rather, the one who does them shall live by them. That's law keeping. And that's not some misunderstanding of the law. Some preachers preach this and say, oh, Paul was referring to a legalistic misunderstanding of the law. No. This is the law of God. Do and you shall live. Do and you shall live. The law is not of faith. Doing and trusting are not the same thing. The Spirit makes that abundantly clear here, as much as hearts want to twist it. The law is not of faith. Rather, the one who does them shall live by them. No, faith is not doing. Faith is not obeying. Faith is believing. Faith is receiving and resting in what Jesus Christ has done for you. Friend, I wonder how many of you right now are working, are trying to work, even with Christian platitudes and Christian duties to try to earn heaven. Stop. Be free. Be free and trust the Savior. Be free and believe. Like the thief on the cross had no good deeds, but simply trusted and believed, and that day he was with Christ in paradise. I love the thief on the cross. Oh, these work people who say you need works to get to heaven. I'll point out the thief, baby. The thief had no works. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. And bam, he's with Christ in paradise. Friend, if you're here today working to get to heaven, you're working to make God love you, stop. Stop. Say, get behind me, Satan. Satan would love to have you be what outwardly looks as the most zealous Christian on earth, and then take you to hell forever. Because you're working to get to heaven. Lay your deadly doing down at Jesus' feet, and believe. Trust in Him alone. That's the gospel. Jesus paid it all. Jesus came and He worked. He obeyed. He did what only He could do. Obedience, perfect obedience to the law, and died on the cross where He suffered the wrath of God and was buried and rose up on the third day. And if you believe in Him, you will be justified. No works. No works. Just faith. Faith. Believe on Christ. The Bible says in Galatians 3:13 and 14, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanging on a tree, so that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. Through faith. Faith. What is faith? What is saving faith? Faith is knowledge. You have to know the truth. You have to know these facts that Jesus is God, that He's man, that He died, that He rose. You have to know the gospel. That's number one. And guess what? Demons know that. Demons know that. Devils who will be burned forever in hell, they know that. So they have the first aspect of saving faith. There's a second aspect of saving faith called belief. You have to believe it's true. You have to know the truth, and you have to believe it's the truth. Yes. Christ is real. He's man. He's God. He died. He rose. I not only know about it, I believe it's true. Guess what? The devils have that too. The devils have that too. The devils have the knowledge and they know it's true, but they're going to hell. Friends, some people's faith is demon faith. It's not going to save anybody. You need that third element of faith, which is trust. 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 He's my only hope. He's my only hope. Jesus is my only hope. Not my good deeds. Not my moral behavior. Not my preaching. Not my teaching. Not my missions. Not my evangelism. Not my prayers. Not my Bible reading. Only Jesus. I trust in Jesus. All I have is Christ. He alone saves. Forsaking all, I take Him. F-A-I-T-H. F-A-I-T-H. F-A-I-T-H, forsaking all, I trust Him. That's faith. That's faith. In his wonderful book, All of Grace, Charles Spurgeon gives these illustrations of saving faith. It's like a doctor. When you go to a doctor and you're sick, right? You don't know what's wrong. You don't know what's wrong. You can't save yourself. You don't know what to do. Why you have this pain? Why you have this cough? Why you have this tumor growing on the back of your head? You don't know. But you go to the doctor. And you trust the doctor. You listen to the doctor. You do what the doctor says. You put your faith in the doctor. Friends, that's sort of like what faith is. We have a great physician. He knows what's wrong with us. He is trustworthy. He can help us. And like you trust a doctor, you trust Christ. Put your faith in Christ. Or like a blind man's guide. Sometimes I see blind men walking up at Broad and Olney, and they usually have a stick that they use to poke at what's in front of them to make sure they don't run into anything. Or they have someone with them that guides them. And as long as they stick right close to that guide, they know they'll be safe and they won't be hurt. But you're blind, right? You don't know where to go. You don't know what's in front of you. You can't see. You don't know what dangers lie ahead. So you must trust in that person guiding you alone. You must trust them. They can see. They know where to go. They see pitfalls and things to trip over. They see the elevator shaft that's gone down and you could fall down. They know. They see. You must trust them. Friend, that's like saving faith. Jesus knows. Jesus sees. Jesus is all powerful. Jesus saves. You must trust Him. Al Martin said, saving faith is the desperate thrust of a helpless soul upon the arms of an almighty Savior. You're desperate. Friend, when you're ready to believe in Christ, you get desperate. You get desperate. You see your sin. You see hell. You see judgment. And you see you need Him. And you cry out to Him. Luther said, faith saves because it takes hold of Christ. And believes that my sin and death are damned and abolished in the death of Christ. There's a sweet exchange. Christ takes all that's ours, our sin, our rebellion, and our condemnation. Christ takes that away, condemns it in His body, the wrath of God, and we get His righteousness. We get forgiveness, this sweet exchange that we receive by faith alone. Friends, faith is a gift. Some people wrongly say that God has done 90% of the work and now you have to contribute your 10%, which is faith. That's not true. You contribute nothing. Jesus bought your faith on the cross. That's why nobody Jesus died for is going to hell. Did you know that? Shylin has a song about this called God Knows He Tried. A lot of people view Jesus and God, they're just up there in heaven hoping somebody might believe in Him. Poor little God, pat him on the back. He did his best. He did his best. But these people just aren't believing. What kind of a weak non-God is that? That's not my God. That's not my God. My God came down and He got what He paid for. He gonna get what He paid for. My God died so that He purchased the faith needed to believe in Him. He will effectually bring you to Himself. All His elect, He will bring you. He died to purchase your faith. And so friend, if you're here this morning and you believe in Jesus, it's because Jesus died to purchase your faith and God gave you that faith as a gift. You see? Faith is a gift. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Faith is a gift. Why did God choose faith alone to be the way that we are justified? Again, Spurgeon's book, excellent. He says, faith puts the focus on Christ. Friend, if you want the focus to be on Jesus, you say you love Jesus like you delight in Him, you want Jesus to get all the glory, all the honor, all the praise, then it's by faith alone. It's by faith alone. Because anything else besides faith alone, it pats yourself on the back. Look how good I am. I fed the hungry, feed the poor, clothe the naked. Good job. Way to earn heaven, Joseph. It puts the spotlight on me and my works and not Him alone. Spurgeon says, faith has been chosen by God to receive salvation because it does not pretend to create salvation nor to help in it, but is simply content to humbly receive it. Faith is the tongue that begs for forgiveness. Faith is the hand that receives it. Faith is the eye that sees it. But faith is not the price that pays for it. Faith never claims she is the reason for forgiveness. Faith understands forgiveness comes only through the blood of Christ. She becomes a good servant to bring the riches of the Lord Jesus to the soul. She acknowledges where forgiveness comes from and claims she is only used to receive the grace that alone saves. You see, faith, true saving faith, always points away from itself to Christ. Faith gives Christ all the glory, all the honor. Spurgeon goes on, when the hand brings food to the mouth, it does not say to the body, thank me because I feed you. The hand is a very simple and very necessary thing, but it never claims glory for itself for what it does. So God chose faith to receive the indescribable gift of His grace because it cannot claim any credit for what it does. Faith must adore the gracious God who is the giver of all good. Faith sets the crown on the head of the Lord Jesus, and therefore the Lord Jesus places the crown on the head of faith, saying, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Faith binds us to God. We need to be connected to God in order to be justified because only God can justify us. Faith stirs us to action and moves us to love and gives us peace and joy. I hope there are some of you here today that as you listen to this sermon, you're thinking, wow, if this is true, then why should people be holy? Why should people read their Bible? Why should people do good works? Why should people come to church? Why should people feed the poor? All I have to do is believe and I'll be justified. Well, it's true that all you must do to be justified, all you can do to be justified is believe. But friends, the Bible teaches that those who are justified by faith alone will be the most zealous people for good deeds that this earth has ever seen. Did you know that? If we lay our deadly doing, now children, if you stop trying to be justified before God by your good deeds, by obeying mommy and daddy and doing the right thing and making good grades, you lay that deadly doing down and you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and are justified by faith alone, guess what? You will be empowered by the Spirit of God to be the most obedient, godly, Christ-loving, hard-working at school children that this world has ever seen. You see? You see that? But you got to get the order right. Trust in Christ alone, by faith alone. And then you'll have what you need to actually be obedient. You'll have the Spirit to empower you. You'll be in union with Jesus to live out what He's called you to do. And so those who are justified by faith alone will seek to obey God and do good works. Friends, that's why, you know, we see these prosperity preachers talk about giving money. Friend, the people who have the truth ought to give more than them. You know that? Some people use that as an excuse not to give to the church. No. If you know the true gospel, you ought to be out giving those people 500%. But I'm not going to buy a big jet to fly over to Uganda in. We're going to give it away to help the poor. Don't use faith alone as an excuse to be lazy. No, if you've trusted Christ by faith alone and are justified by faith alone, you ought to be the most zealous do-gooders on the face of the earth. You ought to be the most zealous Bible readers. You ought to be the most zealous prayer warriors. Let me come Wednesday night to pray. God save me. I deserve His wrath. And He saved my soul. Let me pray. Oh no, if you get it, you get what Christ has done for you by faith alone, you will be the most zealous Bible readers, the most zealous prayers, the most zealous attenders to church on Sunday. Because Jesus is worthy. But you're not doing it, see, to earn God's love. You've received the love of God. You know how much He loves you. And so you don't do it as a burden, as a chore, as a duty. But it is your delight to do it. You have a new heart. You have a new spirit. And you delight to pray. You delight to pray, to read the Word, to evangelize, to disciple, not to earn God's love, because you have received it by faith alone, justification by faith alone. Those who are justified by faith alone will seek to obey God and do good works. Ephesians 2:10, for we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Luther said, it is true that faith alone justifies without works, but I am speaking of genuine faith, which after it is justified, will not go to sleep, but is active through love. Yes, true justifying faith. It doesn't justify because it works, but it does work. It justifies because it rests in Jesus alone, but it will work. Oh, it will work its hind end off for the glory of King Jesus. And so, I want to end by thinking of Him again. You saw those words, cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them. I wonder if you thought of Jesus when you read that. Cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them. Our friends, our sweet King Jesus, He is the one who did abide by all things written in the book of the law. He is the one who did the law. Jesus did abide by all things written in the book of the law. He did them perfectly without sin, and yet He was cursed for us. He was cursed for us. He didn't need to be justified. He had no sin. He always trusted and always obeyed God perfectly. But He took the curse that you and I deserve, that we might be forever blessed. And He rose from the dead to save us, to sanctify us, to justify us. Jesus did the book of the law. He obeyed without one flaw. Yet still He died as God's outlaw and rose to make our sins withdraw. He's the greatest you ever saw. By faith alone, we stand in awe. Friend, have you trusted Christ by faith alone? Let's pray that all would do that today. Father, we confess that we often, because of our self-righteousness, we like to add to what You've done. We like to justify ourselves and think that we are contributing in some way to our justification. Father, we pray that You would forgive us if we're doing that consciously or unconsciously. God, we pray that You would grant us to turn and trust in Jesus Christ alone for righteousness and for forgiveness. And Father, we pray for anyone here today who has never come to trust the Savior alone, by faith alone. And we pray, God, that You might grant them that gift of faith today and You might save them for Jesus' sake. Amen.